Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in, look.
Yes, sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Hey, folks. This is your boy, Mark Settit, all the way down from Houston, Texas. And thank you for joining me for another installment of The Bree Life, where we inhale and we breathe life. My girl Bree will be joining me probably in the second half or so. She's out running errands. She got business for the radio network that she's handling, which we are so happy that she keeps everything organized, keeps this fine ship in order. So, without further ado, tonight, we have a couple things going on. We have our post-traumatic relationship disorder show. Now, many of you may not have heard that phrase before, because I just created it last week. And I kept thinking about post-traumatic stress because, let's say, 15 years or so, I've been working with youth between the ages, I'd say, of 13 to 21. And by working with kids with mental health issues and concerns, I also had an opportunity to work close with psychologists and psychiatrists. And, you know, we would commonly run into kids, especially that came out of unbelievably abused relationships and stuff like that, and families, they would have post-traumatic stress. And then, you know, the first time that I ever heard of the phrase, it was always connected with people from that came out of war. So, you know, and it became really popular with a lot of the Vietnam-era vets, you know, and they had behaviors that was very common to experience or exhibit, like, for instance, things that would take them back to scenarios of war, as if they were actually in war, you know. So they would have a, quote-unquote, flashback. And so they could hear a firecracker go off, or some kind of loud noise, and psychologically go back to a state as if they were on the field battling again. So I thought about it. I said, you know, I don't think it's uncommon for stuff like that to happen. It's kind of like I was making a joke. I said, well, post-traumatic relationship disorder, like I'm sitting in the bed, and my new girlfriend comes in, and she says, real loudly, hey, Mark, and I jump because she spoke in such a loud tone, and it reminded me the last time a woman used that tone, she was getting ready to do some craziness. So it threw me back. Or she came in late. Oh, that reminded me of that time when my ex cheated on me. And, you know, we can go through any number of scenarios that whether it's as serious as, you know, because I don't want to put a blemish or downplay post-traumatic stress syndrome. But I will say this, it's very common. There's a lot of songs that's been written about it, about how, you know, like R. Kelly wrote a song one time, he said, one man can hate, one woman hate all men, things like that. you know, there's songs out there like that. There are examples people have given. You've seen talk shows all over the place, from a more serious talk show to the Jerry Springer types. But many of them have one thing in common. They talk about how a lot of times people have a hard time getting past what trauma they experienced in a past relationship. So that was something that we really were dealing with the last time we talked on airs, because we were just talking about how these relationships have a way of really staying with us. And so if we're, I don't know, 40 plus, it can really be a challenge for us. Why? Because more than likely we've had more than one relationship by then, and probably more accurately several. So with that being said, we also had, I'm sure, our share of unpleasant outcomes in these relationships. And having those unpleasant outcomes and experience can lead to us having some malfunctions or some challenges entering into new relationships. And I kind of look at what I call post-relationship residue. Now, post-relationship residue is basically almost what it sounds like. It's kind of like something that's on me. Let's say I just came out of a construction site, and, you know, you have, like, dirt and different little stuff on you. But post-traumatic relationship residue is a little different, because you take a shower and it don't always come off with one shower. Might need some real good industrial soap to get it off of you. So these are things that have been coming across my mind, and I've been noticing that there's a plethora of relationship experts out here. All you got to do is look on Facebook, Instagram. You can look on Twitter, and then there are countless number of blogs out here, which a host of experts come on spewing platitudes as well as talking about the problems. Some of them give you answers on how to solve them. Some just basically are venting. Others basically saying there's no problems. Love, love, love. Men are dogs. Women are expletive, on and on. All these things. But the one thing in common that they do have is that they're all trying to address this ongoing, incessant desire to couple or deal with coupling situations. So, again, running into those problems with past situations, it definitely put me in the mind and say, man, maybe we should look at the credence, if there's any credence to this whole concept of post-traumatic relationship. Well, having thought that, it also made me think about someone else. There's a young man out here who I've had on the show in the past, and he is an author. He's also a blogger, and he has some well-defined, very clear ideas when it comes to relationships. I had him on a couple weeks ago, and he goes by the name of the Love Doctor. He also goes by another title of the King of Internet Dating. And he has a new book out that he just released about a week ago. And I definitely wanted to talk to him about this book because, you know, I see him blogging all the time, and I see people responding to his blogs. And it's just interesting. Some of the people embrace him. Some people just hold high disdain for him, but they keep engaging with him. That's the craziest thing. I saw him on there today, and there's one woman I guess he was engaging with. She was irritated because I guess he referred to her as basically, you know, a person that I don't want to call her. Well, he actually said she was kind of like a prostitute, you know. He said because she took like $1,500, I guess, in a relationship to some case. Now, she was responding because I guess she was saying it wasn't exactly the way he was putting it. But the weird thing about it, my thing was she stayed here and she engaged with him back and forth about this issue. So even if you did think he was crazy or wrong, whatever, you stood there. And I'm telling you, there was at least 10 entries on her part responding back and forth to the fact that he alluded to her based upon her words, he said. Again, I'm going to give him the credit, and he may even want to talk about it when he comes on. But he said, look, you said you took $1,500. So in my estimation, this is what he's saying, you're a prostitute because you paid for services. He paid for services rendered. He gave you some money, and then you did whatever you did. So, again, I thought that was quite interesting. But anyway, without further ado, I just want to let you know, this is Andrew Benjamin. He has a book out right now that he just came out with, and it's called Here We Go Again. It can be found on Amazon.com. And without further ado, I want to introduce the Bree Life Radio Network audience to Andrew Benjamin. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the show, Mark.
Well, thank you for coming again, Andrew. So, you know, I had questions for you, but after running into that blog today, man, you got to talk a little bit about that real quick for me. So what is that all about?
Anybody who knows me knows what to expect when they come on my page. The truth hurts, and I always tell the truth. Now, there's women who feel that they could take a man's possessions for sexual favors and not consider themselves prostitutes. And they are absolute wrong. My blogs are to make people think about what they are doing in their lives. And with that particular woman, one time about how this elderly man paid her $1,500 for a sexual favor, and she did it. Now, without mentioning her now, I just mentioned the incident. I told her that she fell under the topic of a prostitute, in which if you accept anything, money, food, and yes, food, there was a woman who accepted a hamburger for a sexual favor, anything in exchange for sex qualifies you as a prostitute. And many women can't handle it because that's what they do. That's what happens when you're materialistic. You'll give yourself to someone who has something of value and willing to give it to you.
Well, let me ask you a question. I have a question about that. So I think about prostitution, you know,
I think about it, and I think about the fact that usually when you talk about prostitutes, you think about somebody that has a clear prearrangement for the exchange of services, meaning I know this is what we're going to do, we do it for that purpose, and then we part, and that's what it is. And so I also know that as a, you know, especially in our culture, as a man, we do quote unquote wine and dine. And when we wine and dine, we don't always get sex. Sex is not always, you know what we end up with after, you know, paying for whatever we pay for. And I know you mentioned this earlier, and I saw a gentleman also respond, and he said that, you know, basically, yeah, you know, that's what we pay because we know what we want, and you're taking the money. Right. Well, but here's the thing. The crazy thing about it is I think most men will be honest if they're honest. Whether they pay or not, they want sex. They ain't got I don't know if that has a lot to do with it. I don't know if so prostitution, you know, I don't know. You know, you like the lady. You enjoy her company. Yeah, you want to have sex with her, but you're just being a gentleman when you do things. I don't know that it's a
How many gentlemen do you know today? Everybody's a dog. Ever since sex was easy to get, love became harder to find. Thus, you don't have to be a gentleman anymore. Bitches, sluts, hoes is not considered a person that's being a gentleman. And that's what today's black woman is to the black man. bitches, sluts, and hoes. Black men are not gentlemen anymore. Rarely. Rarely will you find one. Keeping it real.
So you're saying black men are gentlemen and black women are whores and sluts?
Never said that. I said black men do not respect black women. Black men are not gentlemen anymore when it comes into the dating arena.
Black men. So, you know, that's kind of like a, wow, what can I say? Kind of like a broad brush there.
Yes. And I always paint the broad brush. This way everyone gets to think whether they fall under that scenario. If you don't, you remove yourself. But if you look on television, videos, women are referred to bitches, sluts, and hoes, jiggling their asses and titties. As far as the streets, once again, how many times you see men cursing out women on the streets? You're getting into bad relationships. And that is one of the reasons why my book is helpful. It teaches you to make the right choices in men for the women. It'll teach you what the red flags will point out, what is a gentleman, what is a dog, and who to stay away from. And the only way you could demand respect is to respect yourself. Therefore, you have to carry yourself in a certain way in order to get your point across.
And you, and I'm just saying for the sake of this conversation, when you suggest that there's a certain way to carry yourself, and you're talking about a woman, right?
Both people.
Okay, both people. So you're suggesting men are not carrying themselves properly and women aren't?
But that is correct. However, women set the standard of how things are going to happen. Women have more power in the dating arena than they ever dreamt. It's the power of the pussy. And if they know how to wield it, men will change. But as long as you have women giving men what they want, and there's only one thing they want at the moment, nothing is going to change. Men will always be disrespecting women. Women will always get hurt. Women will always be vengeful and make the next guy pay for the last one. And the cycle will just keep continuing.
So that's kind of a perfect segue to the question that I have, which goes to your book. And when you think about your book you just wrote, is Here We Go Again, and you talk about cycles, my question would be for you, who is this book targeted at? Specific, you know, if you thought about as far as, you know, age group or even gender, who's this book particularly targeted for?
The book is targeting anyone who can relate to what's being said. There's a lot of people who's having hard times getting into a decent relationship. Many people get into dysfunctional relationships by rushing into it, thinking they know what they want when they truly don't know what they want. They're just guessing. And until you know exactly what you want, you ain't going to get what you need.
So, let's say by reading your book,
by reading my book, you will learn from experience what to do and what not to do, what to expect and what not to expect. And when you expect it, you will know up front how to deal with it. My book has already helped a number of people that read it. One woman actually canceled her marriage because she related to so much that I was going through with not getting along with the significant other's family, the disrespect she was getting from him and the family, and then after she learned that a lot of her story was my story. She learned from the book that it wasn't going to get any better. So she decided to let it go and cancel her marriage, sell her wedding dress, her ring, the whole nine yards. And she was grateful that I opened her eyes. When you're in love, you see everything and comprehend nothing. Because we have high expectations of love. Therefore, all the nonsense that plays in the relationship, you'll close your eyes to, hoping it will get better. And it never gets better. Only gets worse.
So when you say that, her eyes was open, actually,
yeah,
to what happened, actually. And then, actually, I would assume that, because you say we see everything, we comprehend nothing. In her situation, she was seeing and comprehending, huh?
Well, comprehending is knowing something is going on and deciding to do something about it. Most of the times, we never do anything about it. We close our eyes and pray it gets better.
But when we talk about this young lady that, for instance, took the advice, particularly advice from your book, or what she gleaned from your book, you would say that she basically learned something.
Oh, yes. I don't care who you are. The book is guaranteed that you're going to learn at least one thing that's going to save you from pain later on. Something you're going to identify with. There is so many life experiences, not just my own, but you have 48 other people in there delivering their life experiences, whether they agreed with me or not, that you will learn from.
Okay. Well, also, let me ask you a question, because we didn't discuss this prior. Are you okay with taking calls today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure that you were. So I have another question to ask you right on the same thing. And actually, I think I have a caller that's really interested in asking you a question, and I'm going to bring him on. They're calling from the 216 area code. You're on the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Mark Sedit with noted author, doctor of love, and internet dating guru, Andrew Benjamin. What's your question for him?
I'm listening. I don't have a question.
Okay, because I saw that you hit the number one. Usually whenever somebody hit the number one, that suggests they want to ask a question. So let me ask you a question. What do you think about what you're hearing so far?
I just actually tuned in. I couldn't find the number.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you back into the caller queue. If you decide you want to chime in again, just hit the number one on your phone, and we'll definitely take you. So, but thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, my question for you, another question for you again, along the same lines, is basically what really motivated you? And I know it's kind of being redundant because I know we kind of talked about it, but I just kind of want you to really take us through the process that brought you into writing this second book.
Okay. The first book was an accident. I received a Dear John letter, and I wanted to know the meaning. Women best know what women are thinking. So I took that Dear John letter and approached 1,000 women on the Internet. They all took it to heart and responded with life experiences. And I created a book out of that. Believe it or not, right after that individual, I met another woman begging me to give her a chance. Just got out of a relationship. And she's begging me to give her a chance that, you know, I can't be so, what's the word? Bitter. That's the word women like to use. I need to give people a chance. So I gave her a chance. She ended up doing this very same thing, too. So I started writing this book.
Okay, so stop for a second. One second real quick. You said she did the same thing. What actually happened?
Oh, I'm not feeling the way I am. It's not you, it's me, blah, blah, blah. But the real deal was she was promiscuous and met another man off the internet, sold her a dream, and all of a sudden now there's no such thing as love anymore. So she went with him, which is the same thing the first one did. Spent 4 months telling you they love you, and then all of a sudden they don't love you or they never loved you. They're confused. They don't know. Anytime a woman tells you she's confused, it means there's someone else in the picture. You have to have two conflicting thoughts in order to be confused. But they never want to tell you there's someone else because that's their admittance that they are wrong. And women will never admit they're wrong.
Well, I mean,
when they're busted.
Just devil's advocate. What if they could have? I'm just saying. I mean, what if they could have just stopped feeling you, and did not know how to walk away or bow out?
Well, that's the women's problem. They always claim in the beginning, I ain't got no problem telling anybody how I feel. So why is it that they can't tell me what's going on? Makes sense, don't it?
Okay.
In the beginning,
you
always hear women say, oh, I ain't got no problem telling anybody how I feel. I'm open-minded. I tell people what I want. And then all of a sudden, oh, I didn't know how to tell you a woman feeling this way. It don't make sense. No. You know someone else. You're interested in them. You're intrigued. But you don't want me to know.
Okay.
And many times they don't want you to know because in case it don't work out, then they can come right back and pick up where they left off.
Hmm. And, you know, I got to admit, I think there are women that would suggest that that happens in reverse to them on a
Of course it happens in reverse. The same thing that happens to women holds truthful for men. It's no different. But they focus on what's going on with women. That's women's issues to find out what's going on with men.
So,
I've only been talking about men, and I became women's best friend. Why?
Right.
Because now I'm voicing their thoughts.
Mm. So, again, this is the Bree Live Radio Show. You can call in at 347-826-7119. And you can also get us on the web at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. We have another caller, and it's a caller coming from the 713 area code. And you're on the Bree Live Radio Show. Caller, you have a question from Mr. Benjamin?
Yes, I do. Well, my name is Candace, and I had tuned in probably about, I guess I've been listening for about maybe it's 20 minutes. And my question is, you had mentioned that you took or interviewed or had women who shared their experiences that you added to your book, and you also mentioned that there were women that are out here not really acting as ladies. They're not being ladies. They're disrespecting themselves.
Correct.
So my question is, who exactly, is there some particular nationality that you're referring to? Do you have experiences from different cultures of women, or is this one particular race? I guess that's the word I want to use, is a race of women. Is it one particular race of women, or is this a variety of women from different races?
Well, I've only dated the black race. So when I discuss things, it's mostly the black race I'm referring to. However, all women act similar Therefore, really, you can put it across the board. The only time it gets largely different is when you're talking about different countries, like Africans, Brazilians, Trinidadians, Chinese. They're all going to be different from the American race. American black women stand out as ratchet. Black women don't want to believe that, but it's the truth. So, I actually wrote in my book how a woman should conduct herself if she wants respect. The average black woman, if you go on Facebook on a daily basis, any day, you'll always see a black woman holding a cell phone camera in the bathroom, half naked, panties and bra. And she's not in panties and bra, she's butt naked, bending over in exotic poses, degrading herself, thinking she's looking good. And all she's doing is disrespecting herself and allowing men to disrespect her by making lewd remarks.
So that's a question. Andrew, let me ask a question real quick. So I'm listening to what you're saying, and I can imagine, again, and I know you have an answer for this, but I can imagine a lot of callers will listen and say, you know, maybe you do see that, but it's probably relegated to a certain sector, especially a certain age group, and if you start talking about 40-plus people, you don't find that very often. Do you disagree with that?
I already covered that in the topic. I've shown that young hoes turns into old hoes. The same woman that's in her teens, showing her titties and asses, and bending over in a party, will be 40 years old, bending down another woman at a party. Very rare do they change.
So, again, so you're saying you believe that, you know, because a lot of us that are in our 40s, we didn't have the cameras to start off in our 20s with. So my question is, you know, a lot of the people you're seeing, I'm thinking, you know, are younger, but you're saying that's not true.
Well, the book I refer to is for the young people because they're the ones that really haven't had a chance to been taught morals and principles and ethics on how to carry themselves. They're the ones that's actually doing anything and everything that's wrong. And that's why no one is respecting the black woman anymore. They're not. They're really not. And in order to get into a decent relationship, you first must carry yourself with respect. Then when you
okay.
carry yourself with respect, you could demand to be with a man that has respect.
Okay, so check this out. I got a text message. Actually, I got a message on Facebook as well, and a listener said, this man really doesn't like black women. What do you think?
Oh, give me
that?
A break. If I didn't like black women, why would I be trying to help them?
So why do you think that someone would think you didn't like black women? And it seems like the caller that's on the line, she alluded to the issue of race. So I don't know. Would you like to say something about that caller, as far as, you know, because the woman that just sent me the message, she's concerned that this guy don't really like black women. Do you feel that same? Do you kind of pick that up?
No, I don't. I don't feel that way. I don't. That's not what I'm interpreting from this gentleman. I do agree with some of what he is saying. I do believe this day and age, and I don't think it's just black women. I think in this day and age, women are degrading themselves. And I do believe that women are disrespecting themselves. And unfortunately, because And unfortunately, because of the day and age that we live in, the skirts have gotten higher, the tops have gotten lower, and this is our way of getting attention. And it's big-time competition out here. First of all, I'm not speaking for every woman, but there is a shortage of good men. And women do feel like they need to compete. And women are becoming more desperate, and they're willing to go above and beyond than what I believe they should go to impress a man. It really should be a man impressing a woman. I mean, they should impress themselves, each other. But I do believe you have more women that are making more of an attempt to impress men to get their attention.
And doing it improperly.
Because women are being desperate, because there's not very many available gentlemen that are out here to choose from. You have a lot of men that are locked up in prison. You have a lot of men that are turning gay. You have a lot of men that are just straight up thugs, or they're gangsters, or they're, you know, don't have a whole lot to offer. And so, therefore, there's not much to choose from. And there are, I may be wrong, but there are more successful black women. And the reason why there's more successful black women, because they have to be. They have to take care of their families. And so you find more black women statistically, and maybe I could be wrong again, but just from reading books and magazines and from me being a college graduate, you saw more black women in college becoming more educated, getting their degrees and starting a career, because they needed to do that to take care of themselves and their family. So, a lot of times black women do want someone who's equal, and it's very hard to find. You see it a lot on movies. Women that are very successful, and they sometimes have, you know, they drop down a little bit, a few notches, just so they can, you know, meet a man to meet a guy to get with, you know.
So I just want to interrupt. I want to thank you for calling. We have some more callers, and I have some more questions I want to ask. Feel free, I'm going to put you back in the caller queue. If you have another question, just feel free to hit one again. But I definitely want to ask a couple questions to you, Andrew, about what she just said. She said a couple of things that are quite interesting to me. She said that there are not that many good black men, which kind of took me to an article that I saw, and I sent you some information about the young man that's out there, and he's a young man, saying these things about not being a lot of good black men out there. And I'm guessing you're saying there ain't a lot of good black women out there.
Everything she just said is absolutely true, and which I discussed in the book. And it's true. It is not a lot. You like to put the word in some, but the majority is, I mean, the fact is, it's not some people do it. The majority of the people do it. The majority are ratchet and carrying themselves without respect. That's why when you're dating, you have to go through so many bad ones to get to the right one. And if you don't let the right one go, you'll never meet the right one.
Okay, well, hey, you heard it first, everyone. That was what Dr. Love, Brother Andrew, had to say about that. So I'm going to come back to a couple other questions that I had for you, and we kind of hit a lot of these points already. But how or why do you think so many people are writing and responding and commenting about all of this relationship stuff? Because there's not a lack of relationship information out there, and they're more than a handful of people. If all of these black and other colored people having a hard time figuring out everything, it seems like there's a lot of experts out here, or so-called experts anyway, who are trying to show the way or have something to say about it. Why do you think that is the case?
Because there's so many people in pain. That everybody is sharing their pain. Hopefully, someone will learn from it and not make their mistakes and get in a better relationship. That's what everybody is hoping for.
So, do you feel? I mean, you don't mind me asking, but do you feel like you're one of those people that are in pain?
Of course. The book was written from emotion. All four of them were all written with emotion. As a matter of fact, this new book that I put out took 7 years because after the first year, I only written four, and I had lost its passion because I was in a relationship, and it was going well at the time. But as soon as it broke up, I had new material to discuss that's concern to other people and they can learn from. All the red flags of dating is, well, not all of them, but most of them, or a good part of it, is listed there that will help you stay away from the wrong person.
So what do you think, in your mind, is if you had to come up with the number one thing, the number one error that men and women make?
Rushing into a relationship. The number one thing. When you rush into a relationship, you're not reading. They're not, how should I say? In order for a relationship to work, you have to have the same mindset. If you don't have the same mindset, not going to work. What the mindsets are? Parental skills. How you carry yourself. What's dignified. Like, for instance, this is the first time, and this is true, I actually hung out with my girlfriend's family's father's family. Who does that? I just did it because I was trying to work with her and not be difficult. The family accepted me, but most of the family didn't. And it was hell dealing with them until I got to the point where I had one argument with them and I said I wasn't going to be around them anymore. I'm telling people not to make that mistake. If your significant other is in close proximity with their ex-family, stay the hell away, or you will be in my position of getting cussed out.
So you felt they were too close to their family?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it wasn't her family. It was the father's family she was close with. So I'm actually hanging at the ex's house with his kinfolk. Nobody does that. No one I know on my side. That's what happens when you compromise your principles. That's another reason why people get into trouble. If you are set in your certain way and you have to change it majorly to accommodate someone else, don't do it. Red flag. Not the person from you. You have different mindsets, different goals, different viewpoints, different ethics.
So that's kind of a good segue, because in your book you talk about red flags. Could you give us a couple more red flags for me, other than the one you just, your family was one of, but a couple other red flags?
Well, there's plenty of them. Number one red flag I wrote there is if a person sleeps with you on the first night, they'll sleep with someone before and after you. That's a sign of a promiscuous person. Leave them alone. There's no reason, if you want respect, you should be sleeping with anyone on the first night.
Yeah, but wait, you said that's a red flag. If someone sleeps with you on the first night, then that's not the right person. Well, here's the thing, but you slept with them.
I was a hoe.
Hmm?
I had no intentions of being a boyfriend to that woman. She was strictly a booty call.
Mm.
But I made the ultimate mistake. I tried to turn a hoe into a housewife, and I paid the price. Keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of women hate it. Oh, he hate black women. No, if I'm telling you the truth, how is it hate? The truth hurts.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, can't turn a hoe. You know, that's kind of like a, you know, that's one of those sayings. I mean, I don't know if you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, I ain't trying to be funny. What does that mean?
A person who don't care about themselves, who carry themselves in a certain way. I'm sure you know, but you just don't know how to say it, or you don't want to say it because of what people think. I really don't care too much of what people think. I'm not here to make money. I'm really here to help people. I'm here to help people not to make the same mistakes I made. If you meet a woman, like for instance, the woman I met, I spent 3 years on the internet sending her notes, and she wouldn't respond. And it was a buzzer note, it was hello. Please read my bio, and if you're interested, contact me. Very elegant, very respectable, but never got a chance. And then one day, I just said, the hell with it. Could I have one night to fuck you? Next thing you know, here comes the phone number. Next thing you know, same day, here she comes. The same, sleeping with her. One person, one relationship. And there were many. And I actually discussed techniques on how to get the panties off.
So you're going to tell people how to get the panties off?
Yeah, they're actually warning women about men's elaborate schemes just to get them in bed. Men have schemes to get you where they want you. Women don't think about it, but they do.
So you don't think women don't think they know this kind of stuff?
No, they don't. They think they do, but they don't.
Okay. So you was the panty dropper.
Yeah.
Okay, you you were the...
I was. But the thing is, I wanted a relationship. I was looking for the right one. But like I said, there are so many wrong ones, it was hard to find the right one.
Wow. Well, see,
I'm going to have fun until I meet the one I want.
Well, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. What if you were the wrong one?
Then I never said I was the right one. I told you, I have my issues. I got a lot of issues.
You say you got a lot of issues.
I got a lot of issues. And that's what relationships is about. Finding someone that you are mentally capable of dealing with. Everybody thinks they're going to get someone that ain't got no problems. Not going to happen. Everyone got problems. Everyone's got issues. You have to decide what you are mentally capable of taking and dealing with. That's the key to a successful relationship.
With the mentals.
Yes.
Well, what about the fact that relationships and, you know, there's a word that, or a phrase, should I say, that they use in Latin American countries, they say la química, which is the chemistry. What about chemistry? I mean, you know, what about that, as Lauryn Hill says, that thing? You know, the thing that you can't put your finger on. We know the things that we can't put on, the things we can quantify as far as a person's height, their look, their finances, if they speak correctly, if they don't speak correctly, things of that nature. We can quantify that. But the thing, what about the thing?
The thing, I don't know why people talk about being a chemist when they're not a scientist. Only scientists dealt with chemistry. From the first book, 1,000 women, 1,000, all agree when it comes to dating, they don't know what they want in a man. So if you don't know what you want in a man, how could you talk about chemistry?
So what you mean? You're telling me women don't know what they want in a man. So you've asked them, and no one has an answer. They don't know what they want.
No, they don't. They say they want this and they want that, but then when they get it, they don't know what to do.
But does that mean they didn't want it? That just means that they weren't prepared for it.
They don't know. They don't know what it is that they really want. I've asked them that.
So we had some of the red. We had a couple red flags. You said you had a whole bunch of red flags. So we heard the one red flag of sleeping with somebody. We heard the red flag of the person's family.
Okay, I got a red flag right here for you concerning that. A lot of the times, the family of your significant other don't like you. And some of them either be quiet and keep it to themselves, or some people are vocal and make your life visible. Like the woman who just canceled my relationship and the woman that just canceled her wedding. And here's a red flag. When you are with someone that makes excuses for their relatives, nonchalant attitudes, when they disrespected you, instead of approaching them and asking them why didn't they set them straight, that's a sign. That's a lack of respect towards you, and you should leave them alone. Think about it. When a woman's child gets their feelings hurt by someone, the mother instantly approaches that individual and gives them a piece of her mind. Same principle should apply for the mate. If that's your partner, no one should get away with belittling them, and make sure it never happens again.
Okay. Well, I have a caller calling in from the 612. And I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. You're on the ReLive Radio Network, and we have with us noted author Andrew Benjamin. You have some questions for him? Caller from the 612? Okay, my caller from the 612 is not responding for some odd reason. I don't know what it is. But we'll keep moving on. So back to the issue of the family thing. So, you know, you got family, and you're saying that people allow family to get in the way. But one quick, I want to make sure, is 612, are you in the queue now? Call from the 612. Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, you're there. Oh, okay. Hey, there you go.
You can hear me.
Well, thank you for calling in, calling from the 612. You have a question for or a comment for our guest, Mr. Benjamin?
I don't have any questions. I haven't read the book, but I'm a regular listener, and the topic is very interesting. You kind of have a harsh tone of saying, you know, the part where what did you say, men and women are what if they take a sandwich, if sex is involved, what did you call them? I don't remember. Did you say hoes and something else?
A prostitute.
Prostitute. Okay. Yeah.
That,
I mean, I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from. It's kind of like, is that how you write it in your book, though? Just like, bam, you know. Cause
the book is raw. I keep
okay,
it real. The book is definitely not for the sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be many things that you read that will make you think. The book is designed to make you think. Now, if that is not you, then mm-hmm. don't apply, let it fly. But a lot of the time, the people that do get upset are the ones that applaud to.
Now, the one last thing that you said you just, you want to sleep with people until you find the right one. That's what you say, right?
Yes, I used to be a hoe. Used to be.
Oh,
not anymore.
Okay, I was just going to clarify, because that's what I thought I heard. Not anymore.
I ain't a hoe no more.
I told you I keep it real.
Now. Hold on. He wants to be a husband now. Okay, he's not old no more. But
no, I always wanted to be a husband, but I could never find a wife. Big difference.
So can you turn a hoe into a husband?
No.
So then what you going to do? You can't be no husband now.
That's before.
That's
well,
what I'm saying.
You're not giving other people a chance.
I wouldn't need to be turned. I'm already husband material. But I'm not going to be husband material for no hoe. Think about it.
Okay, and that's understandable. That's understandable. But like you said, at that point you're allowing people to change and grow. You know, but I did want to make the fact that you said that.
That is the mistake people make.
For every one black woman you see on Facebook or wherever you see it twerking and in the bathroom taking pictures, you're going to see all of the races doing it too. It's just that that's what's in your face right now. So that's what you see the most. Because I'm sure the most of the people that you see are of your culture. So your statement is really blatant. I said, all these, you got a lot of them. You didn't even say 10.
Well, let me
nine
ask,
out of
wait a minute.
I said majority.
Let me ask the caller a question. So, caller, do you have a Facebook page?
I do.
Do you have you taken a picture of your with your butt
never
out?
Never have.
You
never have. Never. No.
Oh, we got, hey, Andrew, we got one.
And I also want to give the fact that that is a certain age group. There is a few older people on there doing it, but there is an age group that that's their thing is to get on Facebook, and that's how they get their entertainment. That's how they feel, whatever. They display their artistic talent or whatever it is. That's their thing.
And it's the new generation of mess-ups who's going to be single mothers, lonely, and bitter.
Here's the thing with that. A lot of girls, just as the men didn't have role models as far as a male in their life, the girls didn't have that either. So a lot of them don't know what they're looking for in a man if they didn't have a brother who they can look up to and say, oh, my brother get up and go to work every day. My brother does this and he takes care of the household. That's what I want my man to be like.
Exactly.
If they didn't have that,
Exactly.
Yeah, and if they didn't have that, they're going to go through, they're going to cipher through a few men. Some of them seen their moms get beat and whatever, so they think that's love. Oh, he ain't hitting me, he don't love me. You know, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Go on my page today and you will see I discussed that same issue. Go to Andrew Benjamin and then go down my timeline and you will see that that was today's topic. You'll see a woman with a damaged eye talking about, but he loves me.
Right.
They
right.
love.
I agree. I agree. I agree with what you're saying, and we are Mother's Nature. We are the nature. If we don't change it, you guys can't change. Because we're Mother Earth. So
yeah, but that's the problem people make in relationships. You don't wait for a person to change. Either they are one way or they are not. And decide then if you can deal with it.
No, you don't wait for nobody. Well, I don't know about that. I'm going to be up in the air 50-50 on that. I don't wait for nobody to change. I'm me, and if you ain't got what I'm looking for, I'm not even going to waste your time or mine.
This is the beauty of my book. It
some
makes you think.
Listen, some people stay with each other while they grow together. And that's why you see, if they're not being abused, then I can see you growing together, because that's how some people choose to do that.
Well, I mean, you know, it was something that the caller said that I thought was kind of interesting. She was kind of alluding to the tone, because I think she was saying something about, you know, you might come off to some people being kind of harsh and kind of bitter.
I am.
Andrew.
I am.
Really?
I am.
You still bitter?
I don't take this as a joke. I am very serious when it comes down to relationships and giving advice. I don't play around.
And so am I. I'm 100%. I'm going to give it to you 100%. If I've seen somebody go through it, I can tell you what they went through. Or if I went through it, I can tell you what that felt like. And then at the end of the day, you still make your choices.
If you want, If you want sensitivity, talk to Steve Harvey.
A lot of these women, some of these women, they giving you guys what y'all gave them. Like if y'all slept around on them, and let's say that last woman you met that you said you wrote on Facebook, kept writing for 3 years, and then she didn't address you until you said, "Can we sleep together?" A lot of them are giving y'all what y'all gave them. Like, oh, I just want this a booty call. I don't want no man. Some of them don't, like you said, a lot of them don't know what they want in a man. So when they get with them, they're like, yeah, this ain't it. You know,
and those will be the same ones to say two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, everybody got to have their growing experience. You know, you guys taught us how, well, I ain't one of the us, but girls how to be told.
That is the same thing as saying there is no reason to cheat.
You already said y'all taught the slick, how to get the girls. All these boys do is tell these girls, oh, I love you, and next thing you know, they're sleeping with them because they don't really know what they're looking for, and they don't know what love's supposed to feel like or none of that. So then they sleep together. The girl falls in love, literally, because once she gives them her body, then she really thinks this is a man for her. Once she gives them her body, that's what she thinks. Well, he's just out getting it all. So y'all taught them how to be hoes because they decided, you know what, forget all that getting hurt shit. I'm just going to go get my knees met. And that's where they're at.
So
they
don't mind
playing their bodies on Facebook because, damn, nigga, come get me. I want to have my coochie licked. I want to get all that done. And then you hit the door because I got a crib. You don't hit the door. That's where they at. I talk to a lot of girls. That's where they at. That's where they get it from. They got it from y'all. Y'all taught them ain't nothing, no thing called love. And it ain't that they don't want it. It's that that's what y'all taught them. So now they're giving it back to y'all.
So basically, what I'm hearing the caller say, Andrew, she's saying that basically your so-called hoes are basically hurt women that were hurt by hoish men like who you were being.
Yep, exactly.
That's
what
she's saying. I mean,
Can I not say the same thing I talk about women holds true for men?
There you go.
No different. Women can be every bit as callous as men in a relationship.
And 9 times out of 10, they're the first one that's callous. And then the girl says, okay, fuck love. Like Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Let me just get my shit fixed when I need a fix and hit the door when I don't want to be looking at your ass. Simple as that. You're right. I agree.
Listen to this. Listen to this. This is woman number 360 in the manual, What the Hell Happened. I really believe that a lot of women, such as myself, who are fully independent, have set out to treat men like they once treated us. If it's sex, oh well. We are so lost in deception that we have made it so hard for ourselves to love anyone because of how we've been treated. We feel as though our hearts are numb, so we locked out the plane, but again, want to be loved.
Well,
at this point in life, we have taken on other men to use as an absorption to heal the pain of another one that made us unhappy.
I don't even know if they got pain no more. These girls, I don't even know if they got pain no more. I don't even know. It's just like because they, I was married before, so I had the opportunity of being married and having a wedding. So it's like they don't even think about a wedding. Like that's not even part of their linguistics. So it's like that hurt thing. I don't even know. I don't even know if they go through that. That might be, I don't know who you interviewed for that piece, but I don't even know if that part exists when it comes to them no more. It's just like if they run into him and he's the right one and he's doing the right things, then okay, then he can stay. But it's like there is a thing called chemistry, and that's those pheromones that you give off on your body. So that gives you that attraction to that one person that you're probably going to fall in love with. And I don't know if a lot of people have experienced that, but sometimes you don't have control. You might love that person, but they don't love you because that's where that chemistry came into play for you. And it's not that that person has that same chemistry that you have for them. So that's, well, I don't even know about that.
The chemistry is either there or it isn't.
That's what I'm saying. 9 times out of 10, it's not there. Because when people say, can we be on the same page at the same time, it's because that chemistry is not there. So when you got with that girl and then she decided you wasn't it or whatever happened, the chemistry might have been there for you, for her, but it wasn't there for her, for you. That's why she had to.
Yeah, but the thing is this. While she's saying, in the beginning, she's saying chemistry when she's writing all these love letters. Oh, yeah, the love letters are printed in there as well, just to give you an idea of what I was thinking and why I gave it a chance.
Yeah.
You're going to say to yourself, why is she saying all of this and then turn around saying ain't no chemistry?
Well, have you heard of that thing where they say the woman is in love with the wedding but not in love with the man in the wedding? Have you ever heard
there
of that?
There you go. Still in love with the man.
So she's in love with the fantasy, not the reality.
The fantasy that TV puts us in her face. This is what your life's supposed to look like. So versus really, now that one young girl, she just got married recently. She's in a lot of shows, movies. Is it Gooding? What's her name? She's very pretty. She's been doing TV since she just got married, and she was a virgin when she got married. She was able to find herself. Megan Gooding? Is that her name? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Megan Good.
Megan Good. She was able to find herself and grow and become this. And she didn't release her body to anyone. Supposedly, that's what the media said. She just married her husband. He's a preacher, and this is her first encounter with sexual. But it was able to blossom herself. And the more she stayed to herself and found herself, the more she blossomed into this beautiful young lady. So from what I see from the TV, she knows who she is and what she wanted because she was able to build that confidence and that self-esteem. And a lot of girls don't get to that point because they're too busy looking outside of themselves. A man can't make you happy. He can't. You have to look in that mirror every day and deal with yourself. And he can compliment you, bring some things to the table to compliment you, but he can't make you that beautiful person that you need to know about yourself from the inside out. And so you're getting a lot of girls sleeping with guys. And like I said, once they give up their body, it's like, oh, he must love me and we're going to be together. He ain't thinking about you like that. He ain't thinking about that.
Yeah, but as you're saying, a lot of these girls are giving up their body. They're not thinking about loving him either.
Well, I just said that too, because they're not. They're at a stage that they're not. They're not anymore. Because like I said, they don't have any role models.
There's one woman admitting that.
The guys have just showed them like, oh, this was just a fling in the hay or whatever. You know, a lot of that is going on now. And I said the reason they're doing that is because they haven't, wherever you were nurtured at and however you were nurtured, if you didn't see the value of yourself at a young age, then you're going to have those bumps in the road. You might get to the point like Andrew and be a hoe for a while. Then you realize, you know what, that's not it. I need to just go inside and just do myself until I find Mr. Right, and I'm going to pick, choose. My teacher said, pick, choose, and refuse.
Yeah, but
the only problem, wait a minute, let me say this. The only problem with that, though, I hear caller, is that Andrew uses this phrase frequently, you can't make a hoe a housewife. So, can you make a hoe a husband?
No, you can't.
Well, no. Either that. So she's going to always have that wandering eye, but you can change and grow and then not be a hoe.
No. Wait a minute. And I'm kind of holding my man's feet to the fire, because if I go along with what he said, he's finished. All he can be now is a hoe. He can't be nothing else.
Well, Andrew, what say you?
I just said the same thing that goes for women holds truthful for men.
Well,
so if I said that for the women, then it also goes for the men.
Personally about yourself, what are you now? You a hoe that want to be a household, a husband, and you always be a hoe, though. So when you get with this wife that you're going to cherish and love and marry, then you still going to be a hoe. That's what you're saying?
I said I want to be a hoe for the right people. I'll be a husband
So but can a woman do the same thing then? Can she be a husband, a wife for the right person if she was out?
Because you're very hard on a woman now, because you just wrote the book.
Really?
You're very hard on a woman. I understand why.
Well, hey, my hatred is towards the world right now, isn't it? Wasn't it a woman that hurt me, or was it a man?
Wait. Your book is very informative for women who didn't have a big brother or a father. It's very informative in that way. But like I said, you're very hard on the woman, but now you said you a hoe that want to be a husband. But they can't do that.
No, I said I always wanted to be a husband. And if you read the book, you will find out. I was a husband.
But Andrew, most little girls didn't start out being a hoe, so they wanted to be a wife and have a boyfriend too. And something went wrong.
And goddamn it.
Right. So now, but you're telling me they can't get back to the role of repair though.
If they choose to, many of them don't choose to.
Okay. So, but that statement. You can't turn a whore into a housewife. That's kind of like a misleading statement because, I mean, the reality
Oh, no, it's not, because that will be me trying to change someone instead of a person changing themselves.
Well, you can't turn anything into anything if you're going to say that. Why use that? If, you know what I'm saying? That's like, okay, you can't turn a hard woman into a soft one. You can't turn an unhappy woman into a happy one, but you choose the whore and the housewife thing, and that's kind of like, you know, I don't know what that's about.
All I know from my experience, I learned you can't do it.
Okay, so I got another question for you.
My experience is different from everyone else's. Not everyone is going to experience what I experienced. However, they can relate to what's being said and see if it applies to them. Many things are not.
Okay, hold on. Can we get some clarity? Hold on, Mark. Let me ask this real quick. I just need clarity on the word home because you got... It's got spectrum. It can go from
right.
A girl who somebody because he bought her a meal and felt she felt something and they laid down together. So you said she's a hoe. Then it can go for these women that just literally go out and sell their bodies. So is that the one that you can't turn into the housewife, the girl with the sandwich, or the girl that go sell the body? Which one? That don't jive because.
No.
She's looking for a relationship, and she just likes this guy, and they happen to have sex.
Okay, let me ask you something. If I was a man, why would I want to get involved with a woman who I could get into bed by buying her a cheeseburger?
That's minimizing it. She likes him. Okay, so you saying when he met her, what happened? He just said, I just want to sleep with you, and then that's what happened. He bought her a sandwich and slept with her. That's the scenario.
Yes, duh, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, then, in that case, yeah, I'm speechless.
Okay, enough that.
Okay, so I'm going to move along from the holes for a minute because you give dating advice out too, right, Andrew?
Excuse me?
You give dating advice out, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so here's a cute scenario for you.
I also counsel people who come to me and tell me their relationship woes, and they will pay me for my services of guiding them through their marriage.
Okay, so here's a question for you. What about a man, that's dating a young lady, that has children, or let's say they have a young child at home. What advice would you give to him?
Well, I'm in a debate with the men themselves on this topic. Men are telling me, leave women with children alone. My thing is this. I'm inclined to agree from the last relationship I was in. However, I don't thoroughly agree with it. I do believe that if a man meets a woman with the same mindset with the family principles, parental principles, it can work. But many times when we're dating, we think that our family principles and parenting skills is good enough for them, but it's not, especially when a woman says, no man comes before my child. When a woman says that, run. I ain't say leave her alone. I said run. So
why should he run?
So up in the air on that.
Why should he run?
Because they will put you through hell, and they will act like their children can do no wrong. They're all women like that. I just been with one. Her children can do no wrong, and her children would do anything to you. That's disrespectful. And all you could do is either put up with it or leave. And many times, it's hard to leave the individual you are with, knowing they're not for you. A whole chapter is written on that. Can't bring yourself to leave. Why people don't leave when they know there ain't nothing there. It's a whole chapter on it. And it's all written with emotion. This book is, once again, this book was not designed to make money. It was designed to help. It's a self-help book. I guarantee once you read something you're going to read in there, that you're going to take a topic and talk to other people. You are. It has been done several times.
Well, that's a heck of a claim, sir. That is a heck of a claim. So maybe you can also, you know, as we, because we're coming in towards the end of actually almost the end of the show, or close to the end of the show, and I just kind of want to get some more callers in, but I also want to get you a chance to tell people what's the most important reason to get this book.
The most important reason to get this book is because if you are dating or in a relationship and you're not happy, this is need no information. This is factual intelligence based on experience. And I guarantee if you are going through something, you are going to read something that's going to open your eyes and make you self-reflect. And then you're going to decide whether or not you're going to do something about it. This is why you should buy the book. You don't have to take my word for it. You can actually go to Amazon.com, type in what, here we go again, Andrew Benjamin, and read the reader's reviews on my page. I will post it on the last event, the reader's reviews of what they read, what they understood, and what they learned. Many people that read the manuscript and the book has thanked me for showing them something they didn't know or didn't want to see.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
What happened to the good old, let's stay together and stick it out? So you're a runner. You're a runner, huh?
I tell you what. You read the book and you tell me if I'm a runner. You can't punch holes in the stories. You got to read the story first in order to make that claim.
I'm just asking. I'm asking because I haven't read the book.
Put it this way. You could go and, like I said, I'm going to post the reader's reviews onto this event that we're discussing. And after you read their reviews, you tell me if I'm a runner.
Okay.
I'm doing it as we speak.
A runner. She calling you a track star. I know I was going to ask you.
Everybody asked, as a matter of fact, everybody who was reading the book was saying, when is he going to leave? When is he going to leave? Especially when it came to Gaylord.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Yes. I have to go there. Yes, I am. But not anymore. Love is a battlefield, and I'm the general.
Okay, General Benjamin. General, you
is in the house, y'all. Gotta get that. He got another title now. Is Love Doctor, is King of Internet Dating, and is General.
That's right. I've been to hell and back.
And he's been to hell and back. So, whoo, my goodness, man. I got to tell you, it's been a delight having you on the show tonight, man. You know, I definitely
I just hope people take me serious. You know, a lot of people hate what I say and can't stand what I say. But what I say has validity to it. It may not be true, but it has validity. It's enough
well,
to make
one thing
you
is for sure, it is definitely your experience.
Yes.
That's for sure. And if there's nothing else, it's yours. And maybe I even say this for those people out there that might say, man, that man ain't had that. Them things ain't really real. I'll say this. Even if that is true, he's got a hell of an imagination. If it's not real, he's got a hell of an imagination. And
you can't make
fictional,
things up. You can't. You can't. As a matter of fact, it's been proven by my readers' reviews. They actually thought that I create my topics out of thin air just to piss people off. They really did. But when they read the book, they were like, oh, my God, all these topics he's writing are true. Because now as they reading the topics and reading the book, they seeing where the topics is being incorporated and how they originated. That's been discussed by the readers' reviews. I'm posting them right now. You will see that everything I lived, nothing was fabricated. Nothing. I even had one woman that didn't believe anything I said and actually contacted the characters in the book to see if it was true. And I guess she found out it was true because I didn't lie. That's one thing I did not do. I did not lie because I am not trying to change anybody's point of view. All I want people to do is think. That is it. Think and self-reflect.
Well, Andrew, like I say, it was a pleasure having you on. And, again, I definitely would love to use you as a resource when I have further topics. So sometimes, you know, you need an expert to come in and back you or debunk some information. So I would love to have you back on to help me out sometimes if you would do so.
That's not a problem.
Cool, man. I appreciate it. Again, this is Andrew Benjamin, and he's the author of Here We Go Again. And why don't you tell them again where they can find that and give me some more of your contact information.
The book is on Amazon. Here We Go Again. And type in Andrew Benjamin. Here We Go Again. They always tell the truth, even when they lie. If it's hard to find it that way, which I don't see why, simply go to Andrew Benjamin's page, Facebook page, and you will see it being advertised. And hopefully you will make the taping that I'm going to have on cable access.
Okay. And you have you're going to have a cable taping on cable access. And that's going to be in the New York area, I'm assuming, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Fantastic.
The last show, a couple of producers contacted me and said that instead of having a book reading, that I should have a cable show. Because I have an audience that's actually listening.
Well, man, my audience definitely was listening.
And I already started my orientations, and I'm starting the classes to become a certified producer to use the set.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing and hearing more from you in the future. Again, it's Andrew Benjamin. Thank you for coming on the Bree Life Radio Network. And like I said, call in, check in, chime in the future because we'd love to have you in. Thank you again, sir.
Well, Mark, that was a very interesting show. Hello?
Are you there?
Mark?
Yes.
Hi.
Is this Bree?
This would be Bree.
So you think it was a very interesting show?
Oh, yeah, it was very interesting.
Why?
Well, I mean, firstly, you gave Mr. Benjamin a chance to expand on some of his rhetoric from the last show so that, you know, the listeners could become more engaged. So I'm, you know, I'm very happy for that. And we thank Mr. Benjamin for coming back on the Bree Life Radio Show. Mark always appreciates engaging with Mr. Benjamin, and he's more than welcome to come back on the show and have more dialogue with Mark.
Yeah, well,
so Mark,
what you think about what you heard?
What's happening?
What did you think about what you heard?
I share the thoughts of some of the people who obviously were texting you and were contacting you, reaching out to you on Facebook. I think it's a deep-seated issue with him. He tells clearly on himself that, you know, he's the one. He's really the common denominator in all the issues that have happened to him. If these things keep happening to him, well, what is he doing to provoke that reaction?
Well, here's a question for you.
I don't know that he's taking enough accountability in that area, but that's not for me really. That's not for me to really, you know, dissect or to expand on, because, you know, I'm not a personal friend of Mr. Benjamin's. I can only go on what I've heard, you know, in our first encounter with him 2+ years ago on a Bree Life Radio Show when we first came out. And these last two sessions, I wish him all the best with his book and his new endeavor of trying to get on cable networking, public access to produce what his belief system is and why women are, or black women more specifically, why we are the way we are and why we react to him the way we do. So
that is a question. Wait, okay. Now this is the only thing I want to discuss, though, because I know we can choose to focus in on, but you know, he said some real good stuff though when he came about the relationships.
Believe that he said that was so? And first of all, I want to thank all our callers for calling in and engaging with Mr. Benjamin, especially our beloved Turtle, which I believe is on the line. Turtle, where are you, girl? Did she fall asleep?
I have no idea. But this is what I have to say.
Okay.
He made some very good points from relationship. I mean, I don't think he came up with something brand new that no one ever heard, but the points that he made about as far as how we get in these relationships, our level of being appreciated, our level of not being honest when we see the stuff and we stay anyway, the fact that a lot of people are hurt out here. Even he admitted he was, but he said, I was.
Okay.
But he was
I did hear that part.
Right.
And I would like to make a comment if I could, because I just remembered something. You asked me what I thought, and in terms of some of the things that he said, there was one thing in particular that he said that I do agree on. And that is that some of us, not all of us, but some of us tend to get into relationships quicker than what we should, because we don't take enough time sometimes getting to know who's in front of us before we get up under them or they up under us. You know, we don't do that enough. And I do agree with that. I think I might have been guilty of that once or twice in my own personal life. But here's the point that I want to make going back to him. For all of those relationships that he wasn't successful in being in, how did they start? And what role did he play in them not being successful? And was he very impulsive in getting involved with these people? You know, these are burning questions, like what's at the center of the Tootsie Roll Pop, that we'll never really know, because we only can go by what he said. We've not been flies on the wall in the house of his life to really examine.
He did say. If you listen to him, he did say.
Well, I had to be in and out. I'm sorry about that. So if I'm saying something that, you know,
I heard what you said, but he did. Well, he kind of addressed that because he said that the fact that he, you know, was there and he took part in these situations. His biggest problem he was having was the fact that he kept finding himself in situations where people were being deceptive and weren't being forthright with him. So he had to look at himself, why is it that I keep running into this?
I'll give you my opinion, and because I've been listening these two shows and I remember what was going on, and I also read a couple of lines from his book. I see Andrew as being very passive-aggressive, and as we both know, that is a manipulative behavior. So he plays the victim. He's been victimized. Hell, we all been victimized. That's what this PTRD is all about. We suffering from it. You know, with the PTRD, the foundation of it is that we've made bad choices. And as a result of those bad choices, we're suffering from the residual effects of it. So, you know, that's my take on the whole doctor, the love doctor, king of internet dating. You know, he's God's child, and I have to love him in spite of himself. But I tell you, he plays the victim, and he blames. I hear a lot of blaming of women, and he's putting us all in the same category, which I don't appreciate. And he often talks about how women, you know, dress inappropriately, black women dress inappropriately and this and that and the other, and they act ratchet and all this stuff. But then I heard him speak to black American women, and I take offense to that because, you know, who invented this twerking? We want to talk about ratchetness. Who invented the twerking? That twerking and gyrating thing, that didn't come from African-American women. That's a Caribbean dance that, you know, Jamaican and Trinidadian and Guyanese, and all, but more specifically, dance hall Jamaican women, they invented that twerking. Now, I ain't got nothing bad to say about my Jamaican sisters, because, you know, my family's from Trinidad, so, you know, by default, I'm a West Indian, okay? So don't start sending me emails and, you know, hitting me up on Facebook, oh, Bree don't like West Indian people. Don't do that, because I'm one of y'all, okay? I just don't have the accent, but, you know, let's call it what it is. And you know, being a person of color, I think we have too many problems with, you know, with the divisiveness between us. We all have this darker color. We all have this brown skin. Damn the what the last landmass that we were born on. You know, we dealing with the same issues, regardless if we're talking with accents or not. So he should stop that. I don't appreciate that. He should really stop that. So there it is. You forced it out of me.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, again, like I said, I definitely saw, you know, and I got to be honest, prior to bringing him on, especially the last time, but this time, I didn't know that I would agree with him on anything. Really, I didn't. I saw him as being sometimes inflammatory and, as Gail was saying, kind of harsh. But if as a critical thinker and a granular thinker, I stop and I say, okay, I'm going to move some of that aside. And when I do, I hear a lot of the same stuff that most of us do talk about as far as what we run into out here in this dating world. A lot of the same type of stuff, you know. And whether you could say he's talking about black women the way he is, and I mean, I heard what he said, some of the stuff he said, but as a person who's dated black women almost exclusively, I have run into a lot of those. And I personally, especially the way I feel about who I am, I really don't think it was my fault. I really don't.
Okay.
So I don't know about him.
Well, let's talk about his earlier comment of why women aren't forthright in telling him in particular when they no longer want to be in a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
That same
mm-hmm.
thing goes on the other side of the table because, you know, brothers got a knack for fading to black. Okay.
But see, here's my point though. My thing about that though
Bree,
is that
you know that's his person. The last thing that you said to him was that whether or not it's true is his personal experience, and that's very real.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
yes, that's his personal experience, and it's been the personal experience of women that
mm-hmm.
men have not been forthright about what
right.
their current circumstances are. What they really want
yeah.
out of a relationship, what they're expecting from you, or whether or not after they've discovered all those things, whether or not they want to be with you. And we've all been
yeah.
subject to that. And to say that
yeah,
women are the largest, the group of people that do it more often opposed to men, I don't, and more specifically that black women are ratchet, For being that way, well, then black men are just as equally ratchet.
Well, wait a minute. So listen to this. And he said it. He did say it. He said we were. He said, because I asked him, I said, are you just saying this about black women? He said, no, black men too. He should have said it.
I do also agree with another thing that he said, is that, and not so much in his words, but I get what he's saying, and, you know, it's something that I've always said. We have to hold men to a higher standard. I
mm-hmm.
don't know so much about us setting the tone, because that's something you and I have, you know, debated on a lot, and we still
mm-hmm.
don't agree, but
yeah.
I do get what he's saying about you have to make someone accountable for how they treat you. And women don't hold men all the time to the standard in which they should be held to. I mean, we even have a Bree Life commercial that says, you know, with our brother Alex saying that, you know, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet, you know. And I go on to say, did you hear that, ladies? There's a brother on the line that's saying that the women are giving it up much too easy, you know, and
yeah, but Gail made a point a few minutes ago, if you heard what she said. A
no,
lot of
I
women,
didn't. I apologize.
She, this,
I did not hear
what
everyone
was saying.
I was in and out.
She was saying, first of all, that we have women, because of all what they have gone through, they've gotten to the point where they don't look at themselves as giving it up. Oh, they're giving it up. They look at they're getting what they're getting from it, because they're not planning on being around for all that long either. They're just getting what they need out of it, because they've given up on the concept of having a relationship. So they have you know, friends and benefits, all kind of other arrangements, because they're not even trying to do that. So as Brother Alex said, stock will plummet. What they're saying is no, we're getting. The part of the man that we want, because we don't want to try to trust having to be disappointed by the other part of the man that we can't seem to get.
Right. Well, I agree with that because, you know, dating or being in a relationship has changed for me as a single woman. You know, I'm not because I've got different businesses going on and I'm trying to continue to improve on me and my quality of life. That's what I'm focusing on. And I find that because I'm putting more focus on me and the quality of my life, the quality of people who are coming into my life have improved. Even potential men that I could be involved with. But the point that you've always made about how women have more control than the man does, well, I don't know if we have more control, but I know it's an individual choice to take control. Not take control of the relationship, but take control over yourself, you know?
Okay.
And when you take control over yourself and you work on you, be surprised what can happen. And it took many years.
Why do you feel that we... Me and you, what is your basic disagreement with me when it comes to the woman's role in the relationship as far as her being the gatekeeper? Why do you think that's not true?
I can't speak for every woman, but thinking about it, the way we're raised to think that, okay, we're not just going to be someone's You know, we're not going to be a co-provider in the household, but we're also going to be from the foundation of what our role is supposed to be. We're supposed to be someone's wife, you know. And when you're someone's wife, that still has a subservient connotation. So it's not looked upon or expressed to us when we're little girls that we have equal control. Or any level of control. So when you get older and you start dating and you're encountering different men, this is what I find. I find now in the society that we're living in, yes, women have equal control, but I don't know that we always exercise it as much as we should. I do believe because the way the world is, because in our country where, you know, I'd say, what, 2 out of 4 men are in jail or live in an alternative lifestyle, like our earlier caller Candace said, the pickings are slim. So we don't have a lot of options out there. So we don't, that's why I disagree with you, because I believe men have more flexibility and options to pick, choose, and refuse.
Let me say this real quick. Okay, I hear that, but I'm going to look at you like this. I don't know how many women that I've dated in recent years that came to me to date me. Okay? Number one, I had to go to her.
You're missing the point. I'm not talking about the initial contact. I'm talking about the choice
to what?
To stay in it.
Andrea, same. Remember, she to me, if she's the captain of the ship, she is the one that I'm trying to be with now. I have to come to her on her terms. If she chooses to shift her terms because of what she believes as, there's too many men in jail, and
I think women today have had to make more broader, to allow themselves a broader perspective of choices or circumstances to deal with. I think that goes back to what I initially said.
Well,
women have chosen to deal with things that ordinarily our good sense tells us not to. But for the sake of being coupled with someone, to have companionship, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans that we have chosen to deal with. And
well, I get that.
Because
God
got us into the bad state that we're in right now.
Yeah, but I don't doubt that. But see, my thing is, if you knew this, let me just say this. If you knew this, and this is definitely something we can talk about on another show, I would love to. If you knew that the buck stopped with you, if you really believed it was the truth, because see, I happen to believe there are a group of women, quality women, that ain't having a problem finding God. They're having a problem with who they want to choose out of, to pick, choose, and refuse. Because they hold themselves to a standard. They're not getting ready to move off their standard. They're not worried about that. So as you call them fragonacles, they don't even worry about that. And I guarantee you, they're not having a to worry about if only guys that are in jail or out in the streets is coming at them, because they're getting them from all levels. Now, there's a certain group of women that don't have.
Listen. I'm sorry. Here's what we're going to do right now. I want to, in the last, you know, we have about 13 minutes left in the show. I see that we have a caller that's trying to get on the line. So let's see what they have to say, and then we'll finish up with our thoughts.
Finally.
Okay. Reach the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Bree and
Moore.
How you
doing? I was listening to what you were saying, and I understand the question that the brother was asking. I didn't really like your response. I think you were a little bit off on your response.
What exactly are you talking about?
The where he was talking about the women and the power and you were breaking it down about how they're raised and how they come up. And I mean I can simplify, you know, all of it. Basically,
well,
the black
you know,
community.
firstly, I'd like
okay.
to welcome to the show.
Okay.
Secondly, who are we talking to?
Yeah, this is Peter.
Okay, welcome, Peter.
How you doing?
One of the things I want to say is that it's easy for a person to say that you don't particularly agree. But you are not a woman who was a little girl. So, and you certainly haven't been in the households of every young African American girl in this country to know
how they've been raised. Yeah, I get that. But what I'm saying is I'm a black man, so I'm a part of the black community. I observe people's behaviors, both male and female. And
mm-hmm.
people are going to say things that are obviously going to put them in a better light, but, you know, I can, observing people and watching their behavior, you can see what the real issue is. Going to your numbers about, you know, the brothers being in jail, there's only 2.5 million people in jail of all races and all genders. There's only about 900,000 black men in prison currently. So the idea that there's two out of three, there's 41 million black people. If you split that in half and you just go down to, you know, everybody over the age of 18, you're talking 3-4 times the amount of people that can humanly possibly be in prison. So you got to be careful about going around with the, you know, one out of two or one out of three black, because when you do the numbers, you're just completely off. But the main thing that I want to say is, the reason why there's a lot of these problems and the whole gender issues between black men and black women is because there is no black patriarchy. Okay, all other communities have a patriarchy. The men are the builders. The men are the maintainers. The men are the ones who establish the legacies, and the women are the facilitators of those legacies. Okay, white women are valued because white women produce white sons. They produce white male heirs so that white men can pass on their wealth, so on and so forth. Black men don't have any wealth. Black women don't get their economic opportunities from black men. They don't have that type of respect and reverence for black men in that capacity. They didn't grow up seeing male leadership. So it's actually the opposite of what you said in reference to, you know, women don't think they know their power in the relationship. It's not that.
Well,
here's the thing
with what you're saying is if there's a black man, which there are many of them in the world, there's a black man that wants to step up regardless of the fact that he didn't have a father at home to show him to be a better young man or be a better man in his future. Or he knows better, then why not just
Why not just
be a better man and treat women with respect? We cannot continue to always talk about, oh my goodness, this guy grew up with no man in the household. If at some point, if you want to be a better person, you work on that. You have
it's,
to take responsibility and accountability
for
yourself.
But you know what? I want to thank
you very much for calling into the Bree Life Radio.
I'm just trying
to wrap up the show and take another caller. We come in, call next week. Thank you.
I'm just trying to finish my point.
Okay. Mark, what do you think about what he said?
I wanted to finish hearing him. You didn't let him finish talking. I want to hear him finish talking.
Well, we don't have time.
I just wanted to hear what he had to say. I didn't get a chance to finish hearing him. I wanted to hear where he's going with the patriarch thing, but you.
Okay, we don't have time for the History Channel today. We got to wrap the show up. So, Paula, we want to thank you for calling in. And if you want to call back and address this issue, or you can hit me up on the Bree Life Radio page on Facebook or send us an email, more than welcome to bring you back on the show where maybe you can even be a guest and we'll expand on those thoughts. Mark.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
What are we talking about?
I told we were wrapping the show.
let's wrap it up.
I'm a little confused right now. You just kind of.
Oh, well, you know,
whole,
it's not good to be confused as far as Andrew Benjamin says. It's two opposing views.
I totally understand Andrew, and I definitely wanted to talk to the gentleman. Because I want to talk to him because he's making some points about the patriarch, and I'm not in disagreement, but I think that there is something to be said for the chief nurturer and her ability to raise, even in face of the fracturing of the black-brown collective. Even with that being said, I think there's a lot to be said for her role, but I don't want to get into that at this point because I didn't get a chance. You know, I wanted to talk to her. I really would have loved to kind of have a dialogue with him about that. Hopefully he does call back. I wish I could have got his information or something because I like the way he was talking. I like his information. I love the fact that he is making some points of which I was getting ready to say about the availability of men. I think we talk a lot about how many of these guys that are in jail, and there are a lot of black men in jail.
You also missed the component. I was not just referring to men who are in jail. I was also referring
to men who choose
alternative lifestyles. I got that too.
No, I deal with that as an issue.
It makes the percentage of available men that much more less.
Yeah, but I think the quality women are getting the opportunities. I just think that they are. I think they are getting. They are getting the opportunities. I just don't believe. I have a hard time believing. I think women who are holding the standards that they believe in, who have a way of, that have the ability to talk a certain way and carry herself a certain way, she's a magnet. She is a magnet.
And that point goes exactly back to what I initially said about how young women are raised. We're taught to think a certain way, have certain expectations, and then that couples with what we see in our own household. And then God help us if we have the good strength to, you know, put some filtration on that, and then just go out in the world and figure it out for ourselves and find what's
what fits good, what feels good to us, then, you know, we make decent decisions. But when we have all those dynamics working against us, and then we have to deal with men not always treating us the way we deserve to be treated, because sometimes by the time what was a decent guy who has been tremendously hurt aligns himself with a woman who is decent, and they kind of want the same things. They both have been so battered and bruised getting through over the initial stages of the trauma, which is the foundation of the show that we're supposed to be talking about anyway, post-traumatic relationship disorder.
The thing, Bree, what you're saying, I'm not disagreeing with you, but my point is that even if I'm battered, if I have a certain skill set, I have a foundation to work through it. That's all I am saying. A quality woman that understands what she has. Huh?
Everyone does not have those skill sets.
What I was saying was a quality woman who has that, she will be able to do that, and a man. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about those who don't have it. We know about those who don't have it already. We see that enough. But I'm just saying that there are those who have it, and there are also those who not only can have it, but they can kind of lead the way. They can teach. If a person wants to, if you, the woman here, didn't have certain skills but desired to have them, there's someone that can assist you with that, if that's what you want. But you might not want that because you may think you have the skills. You may think because you've had enough relationships, you got the skills.
No, that doesn't qualify.
You really can't be told anything.
That's
what I'm saying. But a woman that felt that way, you couldn't really tell her anything anyway. So therefore, you're going to probably have a hard time. She's going to continue to have those hard times because she's going to think she's one of those quality women. But she's not going to realize that she's not. So then if she doesn't realize she's not one of those quality women, meaning the woman with the skills, with the understanding and the skill set,
and
then what she's going to do
also,
is she's going to blame the men.
And that is also synonymous with men also. Because going back to what I was initially saying about Mr. Benjamin, although I can empathize with his heartbreak, the common denominator has been him. And he takes a passive, aggressive role and makes himself seem like he's a victim. But, you know, the glaring signs that women are always accused of not paying attention to, those signs are there for brothers. And what was he doing when those signs were going up?
I'm
not trying to beat up on Andrew Benjamin. That's not. But since he was I want to point out some things about what he said that was a little troubling to me.
Okay. Well, again, I think that, you know, like I said, I hope that gentleman calls back next week because I want to talk to him. I also have some things to say a little further about my theories about relationships when it comes to, because I really, my thing about what the woman's power is, you know, and I understand about a patriarch. I don't have a problem with the patriarch, but, I always think about Mother Earth, and I think about a mother's role. And I know we have a lot of stuff that's about men, but, you know, we are at the end of this show. This has been a great show, a lot of energy in it, and I look forward to next week, and we will set forth what our agenda will be, a topic for next week, within this weekend. We'll let everybody listening out there know. You're listening to the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your boy, Mark Seddon, and my girl, Bree. We wish you all a good night and peace and blessings.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes, sir.
Look.
came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down in the mouth to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.